Welcome to another episode of Kentucky Football Carpool Show. I'm Nick.
I'm Chris.
Well, another week down, and we finally suffered our first loss. Really tough loss. Probably, I mean, Chris may be calling on this. It's probably one of the worst losses, definitely in the Stoops era, because of the way it happened. I mean, it's they should have won the game. They had played awful. Like almost every game this season, we have just played awful out of the gate, and we're kind of battling back, and we still had several opportunities to win. I mean, you fumbled the ball, what, twice inside the 20?
Yes.
You just can't do those things and expect to win on the road. Against, I wouldn't say Ole Miss is a great team, but they're a good enough team that if you do those type of things, they'll beat you.
Oh, yeah. They've got tons of talent. But, you know, we were catching them at a good time where they have a ton of transfers in that program. Some young guys at some important positions that are getting experienced and not quite ready for that big stage. And you just got to capitalize on the situations. Like before the season started, I thought we were going to lose to Ole Miss at Ole Miss because it is an away game, and we play like trash in SEC West away games. And we did play like trash, but we clearly had enough talent to win. I mean, Jesus Christ, Barry and Brown pretty much single-handedly kept us in that game.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you. The problem with I actually picked them to lose to Ole Miss as well. For the exact same reasons. It was more so that we played like crap on the road and going to be same old Kentucky as far as that kind of stuff goes. I never thought we'd lose like this. I thought it'd be one of those losses where it's like, all right, 28-14. And it just wasn't our day type of thing. But it actually set up. I would never guess it would have been the fact that we're better than them. It really reminds me of a lot of the Florida games over the years where it's like, all right, Kentucky has several opportunities to win here, even though they have played like absolute dog shit.
It wasn't a fluke. Yeah. It wasn't a fluke. We were the better team. It's just you can only make so many mistakes and, you know, shoot yourselves in the foot before a really talented SEC team just capitalizes.
Yeah. And offensive line still an issue. I said I was going to wait till after week five or whatever, week four or five, whatever to determine what I thought about it. I think this is just what the offensive line is going to be. Yeah. I think it's an opportunity to be better by the end of the year, but I think we're going to have this lasting effect, and we're getting it right now because Levis is hurt. No idea if he's going to go. He keeps hearing yes, then no, then yes. And they put out pictures yesterday with him taking snaps. I don't think he goes, not because of anything outside of we should beat South Carolina no matter who's behind quarterback. But, I mean, Levis is a tough guy. I think it's going to be a game-time decision. I think they have probably ran with the backup all week long, and then if Levis is ready to go, then they're going to roll with him.
What I think is actually interesting, I saw a stat today that was, like, pretty eye-opening. The Cats are 7-1 in the last 8 against South Carolina. For both teams, the quarterback has thrown one touchdown. So the quarterback has been irrelevant in those 8 games. So it's kind of like, you know, as long as if Tyus Jerome, Sharon, whatever his name is, or however you pronounce it, if he goes in, as long as he manages the game and doesn't get spooked by South Carolina's constant blitzing, and they blitz more than anybody else in college football, then we should be good.
Yeah, I agree. I think regardless if Levis was healthy 100% or not, this was going to be a run-heavy game because T-Rod averages over 7 yards a carry against South Carolina. That's pretty good numbers. He likes to tear them up. His predecessor also liked tearing them up. For whatever reason, Kentucky has been able to run on South Carolina since Stoops has been here.
Yeah.
The incredible part of – and I went through the last night. We played them 9 games, so – we're 7-2 against them underneath Stoops, and like I was telling Chris before we got on here, that most of these games are irrelevant because Beamer wasn't there, totally different team. But what I found kind of interesting was a few things. Was we feel like at this point South Carolina's below us. For a while there, we were at the same type of place, but I think Kentucky's taking the step forward where South Carolina continues to go backwards. But I did find it interesting that all those years, we've outscored them 227-180. That's the total scores, which is a lot closer than I can remember.
Yeah. Yeah, they're never like really blowouts except for a couple. 2018, the night of your wedding.
No, actually, that one was a blowout, but it wasn't as bad as the 2020 game, the 41-18.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That 2020, but they blew us out in 2019. Of course, that's how we got Lynn Bowden to play quarterback. Do I think if Lynn Bowden started that game, we'd probably win. But it counts for them. So, but the more interesting part I thought from all these was that out of all the total yardage in offenses, South Carolina actually has 100 more yards than us. Like we have 3,214 yards out of all those games. They have 3,321. I mean, it's pretty even, but South Carolina's because South Carolina is 2-7-2 for us. But the big thing with this game is Kentucky manages the clock. And out of all those games, those 9 matchups, Kentucky has managed the clock by like 10 minutes or more, 7 out of those 9 games. Jeez. And out of those 7 games, they're 6-1.
And it kind of this game plays into that as well, considering South Carolina's front 7 is abysmal. Not that our offensive line is great, but we started to get the run game going against Ole Miss with C-Rod back in there. So it's like, you know, get a little momentum going and start controlling the line of scrimmage. And it's, you know, our defensive line is getting...
And that's what kind of the recap that Ole Miss game, that's what's disappointing, is we did control both lines of scrimmage. Honestly, I thought defense played pretty damn good.
In the second half especially.
Yes. They only gave up like 3 points in the second half. I think they gave up four punts, stuff like that. But defense is going to be good. I think the defense is good enough to win this game against South Carolina without Will Levis. Like I said, the running game is good enough. But to kind of recap the Ole Miss game, the bigger story to me isn't really Will Levis being hurt, which is a big deal to us. It's we lost another lineman, and we have no idea how long he's going to be out. Flax was playing better against Ole Miss, probably the best he's played all year. But we lose him. Now I've seen Buford's playing right tackle.
The
offensive line's already struggling, which South Carolina's also struggling. That is a major problem, an issue got going on there. Not so much South Carolina, but Mississippi State. And then they look further on that is Tennessee. They got enough talent to be able to come after Levis too. You just cannot. Yes. Levis is in a boot this week. He dislocated his finger. I mean, those type of things, no matter how tough you are, those type of things start adding up in the grand scheme of things.
Oh, apparently he's got turf toe, and that's going to stay with him all year.
Yeah, that's a pain tolerance thing. Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, and it's on his left foot, so every time he plants to throw, and he's going to be less mobile. Every time he plants the throw, it's going
to
hurt.
Do you know how to heal turf toe? The only one way.
Rest.
Yeah, that's it. That is literally the only way you can to heal turf toe is rest. That is it. And so, in my opinion, I think he shouldn't play this weekend just because of the opponent. And I'm not talking – I think South Carolina is more than capable to beat us with or without Will Levis. I do think
that – Well, since we have 5 defenders out.
Yeah, but we get Weaver back too. I mean, that's maybe a big deal too. Well, hope so.
I could see them resting him as well.
I think if you're gonna try to sneak in a game where you can rest, you know, unfortunately it's not Vandy this week. So if you're gonna sneak the game on the next 3, or at least the next 2 before you get to a bye, this would be the one. Because Mississippi State, you got to have all guns going. I mean, you have to have it. You will not beat Mississippi State without Will Levis, and some of these defenders that are out.
And
you're
our
not
best
going
defenders, yeah.
You're just not. I mean, South Carolina might be able to get away with it, but I think South Carolina is more than talented enough to be able to beat us with or without Will Levis if we play like crap. I mean, the other trend we're talking about this South Carolina thing is usually the team that has the most turnovers wins. It's in general football, so that's pretty even on that. Kentucky's gotten 16 turnovers on them over the years. They've gotten 12 on us. But the big thing with Kentucky is sticking to the game plan against South Carolina and running the ball, controlling the clock, and let South Carolina do whatever the hell they want to do, as long as you limit their touches and limit.
We gotta stop their run game, because they do have a decent offensive line. They do have good running backs. They have big physical receivers who can block on the outside. So if their running backs get on the outside, we have smaller-ish defensive backs. So, you know, if you get some receiver who's 6'3", 224, blocking Carrington Valentine, guess who's just going to win?
Well, yeah, you're right there. They're averaging 138 yards on the ground through five games. The one thing about South Carolina that we also got to remember is they have looked really good against nobodies, and they have looked not good against SEC teams. So that is something to look at as well. Hold on, I'm going to pull this schedule up because their defense is looks shut down against, you know, Charlotte, which they struggled against Charlotte too. They actually struggled against Georgia State too. They took over the second half, both those teams.
Yeah.
But, and then of course, South Carolina State, their defense looks really good, but then they played Georgia and Arkansas, not so good. That's where you kind of, is the defense getting better? I think South Carolina's hope is a couple things going on this week. One, I think they're drawing a line in the sand for Rattler. He has not been as what they thought. I think this is the game where they can get back on track, get him back on track. The guy has not been very good. He's, you know, four touchdowns, seven interceptions.
He's exactly what everybody else except for South Carolina fans thought he was going to be. Exactly. SEC Mike.
Yes, exactly. And I'm not going to give too much, you know, ammo to them to make fun of Rattler on the week we play him. But I mean, everyone told them that they didn't want to believe it. And it's whatever at this point. But I think this is the make or break game for him. I think this is the make or break game for their season. and that's the two things that are going on. I don't think Beamer's in trouble for his job at all. But I think looking forward, this is probably a game where they think they could probably win. Because I mean, you got A&M, they could probably beat them. Missouri definitely, Navani, but you also have that stretch of Florida, Tennessee, Clemson. So they're trying to get wins out here. And Kentucky's one of the ones where they think that they can make up some ground in the SEC and get back to where they used to be at. They can get past Kentucky.
Yeah, they're close in talent to UK. Their coaching is not nearly as good, but they have some big deficiencies. And I'm sure they feel like they're catching Kentucky at the right time in terms of us being injured and, you know, being pretty soft on the offensive line. But, I can't see it. Let me pose this question to you because it's been in the back of my mind all year since I've been watching Virginia Tech, unfortunately, way more than I would like to. Frank Beamer made Virginia Tech what it was. Do you see Shane Beamer maybe taking over that program after this year?
Very good possibility. I will say this, though. He did give really good high praise to – I do like Beamer. I think he's a pretty good quality coach. The problem is I think he's at the worst job. I literally think South Carolina is the worst job in Power 5 conferences. And now people are saying, well, Vandy's out there. So, like that. They play Georgia, Kentucky, Florida every year. They play Clemson every year. And that ain't going to change. And on top of that, every recruit around South Carolina is going to Clemson now. I mean, you live in South Carolina, or did live in South Carolina, so
yeah,
you could probably there's a ton of South Carolina fans I know, but Clemson is the big dog there now.
Oh yeah, yeah. But I mean, South Carolina still recruits really well. Yeah, it's like, not like they're time, void yeah. of talent. It's just for whatever
it's a really
reason
hard place to win. I just do. I've always thought that with South Carolina, not always I should say in the Clemson era of football right now, it's really hard. Because, now I know that you're putting a lot of point. I'm putting a lot of importance on the Clemson game, but when we talk about playing Louisville every year, let's play Clemson. And like I said, that's their home. They're losing recruits to them, and like I said, they lose.
I don't
to play Georgia. Well, I just think South Carolina's a terrible job to be at. I don't know why anybody would want to go there.
It's so Columbia itself sucks, but they have a really nice stadium. They have really nice amenities. They have a great atmosphere. I went to the Kentucky South Carolina game last year, and dude, they blow Commonwealth Stadium out of the damn water. It doesn't matter like how big of a game it is at Commonwealth Stadium; it will never compare to what's going on.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Bryce
Williams. It's pretty good atmosphere. But I also think I think their West team every year is A&M, isn't it? Or is it Arkansas? I can't remember.
It's either our.
It's
Auburn.
One of those two. I think it's it's not Auburn. I think it is A&M every year. South Carolina, like ECS playing West, which really all is going to be irrelevant in a couple of years.
I ain't like A&M's setting the world on fire since Jimbo's in there.
That's right.
But
But like I said, to answer your question, yes, I think he would go because I think Virginia Tech's an easier place to win. Not because he doesn't like the – like I said, I think he's a good coach. He did give us – like I'm trying to jump back and forth, but he did give us high praise. He compared Mark Stoops' rebuilding job to his dad's at Virginia Tech, which is pretty high praise because
– Yeah, Tech, but he's kind of a douchebag. Like,
yeah, he can be, yeah. I mean, he's – I mean, coach of South Carolina, man. Okay. Name is South Carolina coach last – four of them that had been douchebags. I mean, really, think about it.
True.
I mean, that's the thing. And their fans are by far, in my opinion, that Tennessee fans are on a totally different planet because they're as far as annoying.
Yeah.
South Carolina fans, they have not understand. They still think that they're more of a bigger program than Kentucky at this point. And it's insane to me.
They're obnoxious. They're very much like Louisville fans. Very much.
They've not. I think if South Carolina wants to be better, and this goes for Louisville too, just look yourself in the mirror and say, we're not very good anymore. And that needs to change. I mean, if they want to be a better program, you got to say everything needs to be destroyed. Now, they've started with their basketball team and trying to get it up, and then they hired someone for the basketball team that I don't even know. But, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, but you keep getting these guys in for their big programs, and obviously I think their baseball program is pretty solid every year, but but they refuse to look in the mirror and say we have not been very, this is not the standard we're used to, and honestly South Carolina football history is very comparable to Kentucky's from the standpoint of they weren't very good before Steve Spurrier got there either.
Yeah,
very average. But Steve Spurrier was there and did take them to, they had Javon Clowney for God's sakes there. I mean, they had some good guys that came through there. And they just have not capitalized on the momentum that was left over from Steve Spurrier.
Yep. With Clemson, and I wanted to make this point earlier with, you know, Clemson getting the majority of the good recruits coming out of the state of South Carolina and Northern Georgia. South Carolina struggles to recruit line of scrimmage, which is, you know, the most important aspect of recruiting, and it's hard to get really good defensive and offensive linemen. Yeah.
They could beat up on ACC teams, but they're not going to beat up on big boys. So
they get plenty of skill guys for sure, and they get good linebackers and defensive backs. I mean, you know, they have a really good history of defensive backs, especially. But yeah, they can't get the O line and D line guys.
The only D lineman I know because I'm Clemson was Christian Wilkins. That's the only guy I can remember coming out of there that's actually like a good football player. It's like this guy,
Cleland Farrell. I mean, Clemson has so many good players. Man.
Well, what I'm saying is the guy that I know. This I don't even know Farrell. Where's he playing at? I know this. He's a Dolphin. Christian Watkins is a Dolphin, and he was one of our first round picks. He's a good football player, but not to get too far off track. But yeah, I think this is a big game for South Carolina. I think they're going to bring everything they got. You know, they don't respect us as a program. They can sit up there all day long and say they respect us and Mark Stoops and all that stuff, but they don't as far as their fan base, stuff like that.
No,
their players. No. They don't see Kentucky. This will take several years to get Kentucky to people to believe that Kentucky is a top 15 program now.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been winning and doing things, but also Kentucky can't lose to teams like Ole Miss, like last week, and expect
people
to see you in a different light. But you know, there's things we learn from Ole Miss. But at the end of the day, you got to win those West games. You can't. It's another ugly record that you got to get rid of. Looks like no one's going to take Tennessee serious while they have like a 13 game losing streak to Alabama. It's just not going to happen. But this week, South Carolina, like I said. I think they're very vulnerable defensively, and I think that's what we need to really hammer that away on that side of the ball.
Well, they blitz more than anybody else in college football, and they also have the least amount of sacks. So,
well, they're going all out because they, especially this week, especially if you get a freshman in there, this week's going to be that's going to be other. Which I think you already told me during this past week that's what they do anyways. Even if Levis was playing back there, they were going to do that. But, I mean, against Levis and against the Blitz, he's actually damn good at it.
Yeah, he's one of the best in college football.
The big thing about Kentucky right now is getting C-Rod back and him being able to run the ball more effectively is going to help kind of help the offensive line as far as pass blocking goes, because now guys aren't going to tee off against you. When you can't run the ball and that offense that they want, and we talked about this week too, the West Coast offense, which is supposed to be rolling guys out and stuff, which they haven't really used. I think they used early, but they didn't really like it. Of course, with Stoops teams, man, he doesn't show most of his stuff until later on in the year. I don't like that, but I do like it at the same time, you know. I think when it's all said and done, I think that's probably the route they're going to go, is trying to help out Levis in the offensive line by rolling him out.
I don't know why that hasn't been done throughout the year.
It is a bit of a head scratcher there, but think about last year too with Liam Cohen. I mean, his offense didn't really start humming until later on. So it took a few weeks for it, but different personnel now though. If we had Liam Cohen, yep, Cohen's offense this year with the speed we have and the talent we have at wide receiver and tight end. Oh man, this would be.
And the totally offensive line we had last year.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're really just a tackle away from being a pretty solid offensive line. It's just these plays that we run now, that people don't understand, they're long developing. They want, yeah, guys to get out. These are supposed to be down the field type plays. That's why guys like Bo Allen would never work here, because he's an air raid quarterback that real quick,
five, six, seven yards at a time. Yeah.
Those things are perfect. Bo Allen would probably be fine in air raid style offense, but guys like Levis are made for this offense where they can get it downfield. That's what, yep, you need. And I don't know if this, I think he can. He's a pro style quarterback. So is Hogan, which was a little head scratcher too, that he wasn't going to be starting, but I guess they feel
that scout team now a
little better. So yeah, that's what you said, scout team. That's wild. I should tell you, but Bo Allen saw the writing on the wall big time, right? So,
if Kentucky wins, what happened?
I think Kentucky needs some turnovers this week. Defense has to be big. The spread starting off is 10.5. I said earlier that I do think Levis plays, but I don't think right now their attention is for him to play. I think game day he'll say, I want to play. But I think Kentucky needs to run the ball, control the clock. That's what I've talked about earlier with all nine games. We're 7-2, 6-1, we control the clock. I mean, I bet I can go back through there and see every single one of those games, I bet we lead in rushing, besides the two we lost. So what do you think?
If Kentucky wins, I think we didn't have any turnovers. I think C-Rod rushes for over 150. And I feel like Levis is going to play. I feel like Levis is going to play, and I think he's going to hand off a lot. He'll probably throw less than 20 times, because I don't think they'll want to drop him back and put him in a
all-out vulnerable shotgun. He's state. Going to run an all-out shotgun.
Yeah.
A lot easier to get
So I think that's what happens, and I think the defense has to get a couple turnovers and pressure Rattler, only rushing four at a time, because South Carolina does have some big receivers. And I think he's comfortable with challenging, even though he's not very good and he's thrown a lot of picks this year. He's comfortable and confident enough to challenge any defense down the field. And I think Beamer's got that attitude as well. It's kind of like they're playing with house money and they're going to just put it all out there. So, yeah, if Kentucky wins, we took care of the ball, took care of the line of scrimmage, and got a couple turnovers.
I think another avenue you can look at too, they might do the route of, we'll roll this guy out and see how he does. If Kentucky gets down, we'll put Levis in. They did that against Austin Peavy, 3-4 years ago, where they were up 14-0. Like, all right, well, what's going on?
But
it's just one thing with Levis is, man, is kind of underrated is his toughness, man. He's gonna go out there and play if he's good enough to go. And I think that's where it comes down to too with Levis is I think, like I said before, I think their plan is to play this backup. But if game day, they probably have a whole package for this guy. But I think if game day comes and Levis is ready to go, there's somebody who's going to be like, all right, let's go back to regular offense.
Yeah.
And you're right. I mean, we can run him out of shotgun. He won't ever be touched from that standpoint. But he's going to get – I mean, that's the thing about football. You're going to get hit, so you got to be able to, you know. But I'm okay with him not playing, though, too. I think we should beat them regardless.
I think you're going to see a lot of Barry and Brown screens. They were just demolishing Ole Miss with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And here is the other thing, too. I don't know if you noticed in that Ole Miss game was when as soon as Jaquez Jones went out, Lane Kiffin tried to do a couple plays to pick on Jackson and it just didn't work.
Yeah.
It just tells you how good this defense is.
Brett White and the staff, they make such good adjustments every halftime, man. You can always lean on that defense to keep you in the game because they're so smart. They see what's going on. it takes them a little while to get a feel sometimes, but once they do and they understand what the offense is trying to do, they, you know, good
I'm
luck.
I'm almost certain this will be Brad White's last year at Kentucky.
Don't say it.
I do think that. It's feeling that way. This is he's had decent called years as a coordinator. But now you just see it out there, man. These guys are really
and he's getting playing good. Called out a lot by the announcers pretty much every game about how intelligent he is, how good of a coordinator he is. And I could see it, but I don't want to see it.
Yeah, I know, but it's part of it.
He's going to be the defensive coordinator.
Oh, Mike Stoops, God.
No.
God, I hope not. This is, I don't even really like Mike Stoops at linebacker coach, but he does have experience. He does bring in that, you know, that kind of person that Stoops can trust, Mark Stoops can trust. But I'm not really a Mike Stoops guy. He's proven that he's not been great coach. So no,
not a good coordinator at all. And he's been a bad coordinator in conferences where you can be a bad defensive coordinator and still have good defenses. It's like what could you do in the SEC?
No, he's gonna you gotta bring in a big name for the defensive coordinator. He is for just a couple of years or do like he's been doing and promote within but not Mike Stoops. I mean he can
that's the thing is we don't have any defensive assistants where you would feel like super comfortable doing that.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll have him for a couple more years, but I just don't see it. So
I can't either.
But I think this is his last year. He was accused by gone this past year. So
yeah. But so anyway, South Carolina wins pretty much the opposite of what we said. Kentucky turns the ball over. We get sacked. We don't control the line of scrimmage. Bingo, bango.
I think it comes down to Kentucky. If Kentucky just cannot get anything going because it's first off, Kentucky gets down early, like say they get down 10-0, then that's going to be able to promote South Carolina to be able to tee off, especially against a freshman quarterback.
Oh yeah, if you let them start feeling good, that ain't going to be great.
That's the thing is you don't want Kentucky cannot get behind on the scoreboard. One touchdown, something like that. But if you start getting behind two scores, and now you're having to pass the ball a lot more. That's where you're playing in the South Carolina's hands as far as we're going to sit in the house on this guy and let him throw the ball. Because they're probably going to stack. I guarantee they stack 8 guys in the box. They're going to try to stop that run as quickly as possible. Now, unless Levis goes. Now, if Levis goes, that opens it up a little bit more. Then South Carolina's got to kind of respect his arm. I just think we should beat them regardless. I don't see a scenario where we lose this game. I don't. So
neither do I. And you know me, I'm always like, pretty nervous about the game, but it just doesn't feel like South Carolina's at the level where they can beat us even on not a great day, even with our C level effort.
Yeah,
I don't see how they could.
I think South Carolina is down there, and like I said, I'm not trying to stretch. They do have plenty of talent. I think as far as right now, I actually think Vandy could beat them. I think Vandy's got
Vandy's got the same record as they do.
So I'm gonna say Vandy's got good enough offense that they can score against South Carolina. South Carolina's defense is what's gonna hurt them. Vandy's got offense in the quarterback play.
Vandy's got a more impressive win than South Carolina does.
And their quarterback's pretty good. Mike White is the name. He's pretty good.
Yeah. So I mean, Vandy beat Northern Illinois. They were hanging in there with Wake Forest for a while as well.
Yep. So, I don't know. We're kind of getting off there. So, who's your MVPs this year? Let's get some of that going. And your defense MVPs, offense, defense MVPs.
Defensive MVP, I'm going to go Justin Rogers because I think he's going to ride the wave of momentum from playing such a good game. Last week, he was dominant. He probably played his best game as a Wildcat. So, I think he's going to keep going with that. Offensive MVP, it's got to be C-Rod.
Yeah, I think that's funny to me too because he is the key to this victory, with or without Levis. He is the key.
Yeah.
He's probably going to be the key going forward because this offense needs a running back to be able to run what we want to run. That's a play action, going downfield, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Can't run the ball. It's hard to run this offense, especially against quality opponents. My defense MVP is definitely going to be Square. A guy that's not being talked about. I mean, we talk about him, like people from Kentucky see how good Square is and how good he's been playing, but he has had a great season.
Yeah.
Very, very beneficial that he's came back. He does a lot of things that you know, he may not get tackled, but he's doing things that help the defense. Honest, making big plays when they have to. He's doing things that we were like this all the last 2 years, but we're finally seeing it with him. It's finally clicking with him. And he is the leader of the defense right now. And if Weaver's not going to go again, Square's going to have to, and no, Joe Jacquez Jones, he's going to have to be the guy out there, man, making plays.
Yeah, so, Jackson and Wallace are going to get a lot more playing time.
I think Square and Wright have made themselves better this year by coming back, using that.
Oh, yeah.
That
COVID, I think they're both going to get drafted or at least be on undrafted free agent contracts.
That's the big thing. I mean, that they Square, I know the bowl game was great, but Square at the last season would not have been drafted. I think now he's got
pretty much injured the entire year.
Yeah, and now he's got himself pretty much in a spot where he might be a late round draft. I think Jordan Wright would definitely be drafted.
Well, he's got so much physical potential.
Yeah, he's this guy. He brings a lot to the table. But I think he's going to be my MVP for this week. Offensively, if you're doing any kind of predictions, if you don't go with C-Rod, then you don't know how the South Carolina Kentucky game has gone over the years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what they're going to try to do. Mark Stoops. This is going to be Mark Stoops' ball. Matter of fact, might as well just let Scangarella take the week off. Let's bring in Eddie Graham. Let him run off.
No.
So that's the kind of offense you should be expecting this week, especially if we don't have Lil Levis. It's going to be offense. It's going to be all running. I know that people are going to be like, what the hell? Hell no. But this is going to be a running game. I mean, it wouldn't have mattered if Levis was here or not. It's going to be a running game.
Yeah, because that's who wins this game. It's just like the Louisville game. Whoever, for the longest time, whoever's controlled that clock and had the most rushing yards and turned the ball over the least, that's who wins.
I just think South Carolina, like I said, they're still in a transition period, and they're still – and I do think he's a good coach. Like I said, I do think they have enough talent to beat us. If we play bad, South Carolina absolutely can beat us. I mean, it's not like Rattler wasn't a great quarterback or a great quarterback in high school. But at the end of the day, I think they're very limited on Rattler. I think they're very limited on things that they can do. If Kentucky can shut down the running game and the relies. I don't think South Carolina can solely rely on Rattler to beat us.
No, I mean, even that, you know, was Judson from Ole Miss, he didn't have the greatest game. He had two long runs, and that was pretty much it. And in the second half, they couldn't run.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We could rely straight on C-Rod to win the game because of our offensive line. Our defense is so good. And I think we can rely on straight on Will Levis just to win games. But I don't think they can just rely on Rattler just to do it. I don't.
No. He's not talented enough.
I don't think they have enough. I think Kentucky's front seven is their strength, has been their strength, and I think it's one of the best in the whole country. So when you're talking about when we go against teams, I said this last week for the Ole Miss game, that's why I felt so good about it, was if your strength is running the ball, I feel pretty good against you.
Yep.
But you know, anything can happen. It's football, man. That's the one thing. Kentucky loses to South Carolina, the season is, I mean, it's over from that standpoint. From a standpoint of like, if you want,
in terms of it being special, yeah,
yeah, as far as being special, you're right. I mean, you can still go 10-2, but you're at the beginning of the season. I picked Ole Miss, so it really wasn't a shock. I was not changing that loss or whatever, but it was just a shock how we lost. So I guess going forward, you know, you got to win. I mean, you have no wiggle room now. You might be able to drop one against Georgia to still get a New Year's Six, but you can't lose Tennessee.
Nope.
And you cannot lose these next two. You know, Mississippi State is humming right now. But Mississippi State at home is a lot different than Mississippi State at on the road.
Yep.
In South Carolina, you cannot overlook them because they are good enough to beat you. But it is a sold-out crowd. It's a night game. It looks like we're using the chrome helmets, so it might be a blowout. you never know. When it comes to Kentucky don't traditionally blow out SEC teams, just to put that out there too. So
we just haven't come out with any pop.
They haven't played a great game all year.
Not a single game all year has Kentucky come out and like, oh shit, they came to play.
It's always second half. It's a lot better in the second half, but so they came out and played a complete game. But I just want to prepare everyone for this, and then we're out through our predictions here, and Mom will reflect this. Just expect a sloppy game. I'm gonna expect a sloppy game. They're not gonna cover that 10.5. They're probably only gonna win by 7 because this is just the way Stoops teams play.
Yep. And it's always gonna be that way.
And I hate to be that guy. Maybe I'm wrong. Hopefully I'm wrong. But I see people saying we'll probably win by 2 touchdowns and stuff. We're gonna win the game because we should win the game because we're better than them. But I just foresee a sloppy game before the Mississippi State game. So just for that, what it is. So my prediction for the week would probably be somewhere. I don't think they can score over 14. So I'll probably give them 7 or 10, and I'll give us 19. How about that? 19-10. They don't cover.
Ugh.
Yeah, that's the kind of game I'm expecting.
Disgusting score.
No Levis, man. I mean, that's the thing is, and maybe he goes, maybe he doesn't. But without Levis, that's the score. With Levis, they probably win 28. They'll probably cover with Levis. But it's still going to be in a frustrating game, I think. Regardless, it's going to be a frustrating game.
So we'll throw in Big Mike's predictions. He said C. Rodden Square, and his score was 31-14.
I don't think South Carolina get to 14, but maybe they can.
I am actually going closer to Mike's score, and I think 28-10 Cats.
28-10. Yeah, yeah. I don't think they could score. The thing is, I just don't know. It's hard to say without Levis for sure going. If Levis was going, I'd probably go more towards your score, 28-10. But without Levis, I think it's going to be just a sloppy ass game, man. I just think it's going to be field goals, which cross your fingers on those, and then
That's another thing is the damn kicking game has to get its shit together.
Gotta be better, you know. And we don't have a kicking. We don't have a special teams coordinator really at all. Most teams don't nowadays. But at the end of the day, Mark Stoops said it best: kick it to the damn post, man. That's what you gotta do. You know, you gotta
hold on to the ball first.
Yeah, they're here to the long snapper, especially in the kicker, are here to kick balls and snap the ball. That's you can't get those things done. You probably shouldn't be on the school's campus. So,
yep.
I don't think his first miss was really all his fault. It was really windy down there, they said.
Ruffalo.
Yeah, I don't think his first kick was all his fault. It's really windy down there and stuff. I heard
he kicked it. He kicked a friggin' line drive.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't think that was all on him, but definitely the rest of them probably were not. I mean, you got to be able to get that snap down, and they got to get those hands down, guys, stepping up and blocking them like that. So
yeah,
but yeah, I don't know, man. We'll see. Hopefully, I'm wrong. Hopefully, you guys are right.
Looks like Louisville's planning to fire Scott Satterfield this weekend.
Who are they playing?
Virginia.
They lose. He's going to get fired regardless. I'm not really into the whole firing during the middle of the season thing. So
yeah, maybe they will. What's the point?
There is no
point. I guess it's good for recruiting. Maybe, I don't know.
I mean, unless they feel like they got to fire the guy now. But the thing is, the recruits, it's the best to get these guys finish out the season, see how they finish. But I don't think he's coming back. I mean, he lost to Boston College. That was one of the worst Power 5 teams in all sports.
Yeah, it was terrible.
I mean, Boston College and Georgia Tech, they're battling out for the worst Power 5 team. I mean, that's a fact. And they lost to them. So maybe Louisville's battling out with Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech's the worst Power 5 team.
They're pretty bad.
ACC's pretty bad. This all the way.
But that Georgia Tech. I know we're getting way off topic here, but yeah. that Georgia Tech program was always going to be a huge rebuild because Paul Johnson had the triple option there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all they had in the program, and then Jeff Collins comes in and wants to run spread, and they don't have anybody who can run spread on that
team. Which is weird to watch them and see that too. By the way, it was because they had ran that triple option so long there.
Yeah.
So long. I mean, it was weird to watch them and see. It's like It's like watching Army do something like that. You know, like it would just be weird.
Well, and that's the thing is Army is throwing the ball now.
And you throw a lot more. Yep. Navy, I think they still run the triple option.
Yeah.
But
Air Force throwing the ball.
Yeah, Air Force been. Air Force, kudos to your branch there. Air Force's offense is always pretty good. They always are pretty good.
They have a really good coach.
Yeah, that's true. They have really sweet uniforms too, actually. So
yeah, they wore some pretty cool ones last week against Navy.
And they won, so kudos.
Yep.
Yeah. So, but like I said, man, it's this is going to be a sloppy game, in my opinion. You guys don't see it that way. Maybe it goes the other way. I think we beat them regardless, but I think people are going to be a little bit disappointed. But you guys obviously don't think that way. I'm the only one that's thinking that way.
I could see it, but I just I think with us being at home, I do think Will Levis is going to play. I do think C-Rod's going to put it on South Carolina pretty good. So
I think if Levis plays, like I said, I'll be more towards your score. That 28-10, it resonates a little bit more with Levis playing. It's because I think their whole goal this week is going to be control the clock, let's limit their touches, and just kind of get out of here with her quarterback. But, again, I mean, these are Stoops teams, man. They're hot and cold so much. It's always hard to tell. I mean, the South Carolina team last year was probably worse than this team, and they only won 16-10.
Yeah.
So yep. But that was a road game, obviously. Their first
it was a hostile environment, man.
A little bit different, but – and I think Kentucky very well could come in this game and, you know, take it out on them for what happened against Ole Miss. I just – every time I say that about a Stoops team, they're gonna come back around and really answer the bell this time. They don't. They look worse. Yeah. And you're like, what the hell's going on here? And then they'll play. Then they'll go and play Georgia, and almost beat them. You know, that's the kind of I don't know what's up with that, but it doesn't matter. Who's ever coached underneath Stoops or a Stoops coach team have looked awful before big games, and then when the big game shows up, they look great.
It gets pretty frustrating. That gets pretty frustrating.
It does. I mean, just like I said, the Florida game in 2018, they almost lost to Central Michigan. They didn't. Then they beat Florida, and then they're off and running. You know, it's just weird how that works with his teams. I don't know why they just don't get up for lesser opponents. I don't. And in South Carolina at this point in time is a lesser opponent. So
facts.
Yeah, their fans can think one way or another. Their fans continuously every summer pick 9-3, and I have all those fucking bookmarked too. So just let that known. Those motherfuckers will be answering that bell this weekend.
Here's another thing that anytime Kentucky has a big recruiting weekend, and they do have a big recruiting weekend this weekend, they got a lot of talent coming on.
Oh, my God. A ton.
Coming on campus. They play really, really well.
Well, that's a good sign. I never even put it that way. You're right there. I forgot about that. But I'm going to change my score now. I'm going to stick with it. I'll stick with it. Like I said, no Levis, 19-10. With Levis, 28-10. That's where I'd be going with that. Without Levis, are you still going 28-10?
Yeah, I do. I actually have faith in that Sharon kid because Liam Cohen actually liked him a lot. Scangarello actually likes him a lot.
I think he was. I think the Mike tells you he went to Somerset.
Yeah, he set a lot of records, like Kentucky high school records, I guess the kid's got a lot of swagger and all that kind of stuff. He's pretty mobile too, so we'll see.
That's probably why they're going with him. I mean. But this offensive line, would you want somebody back there that's just going to stand there? Like a
no, hell Max no. Smith
or something? God, that would be just awful. Oh,
Max Smith, blast from the past.
Well, there you go, buddy. Max Smith standing back there, can't move, knee braces on. Jesus. I mean, it's like, man. I'm just saying, that was a blast from the past. I'm just saying, you don't want a guy like that back there right now, this offensive line, the way they're playing. Yeah. I'd be like, scared for their life. Like, you know.
I'd rather have Jalen Whitlow.
That's another. Are we just gonna be blasting like old quarterback names because I got a Morgan Newton jersey at home, so so or Shane Boyd if you really want to go further back. So that was one of the ugliest games ever. Shane, now, this is gonna be the last thing I'll get off here, but I had a Shane Boyd was part of one of the ugliest games I've ever seen. They played Ball State.
And it's like
he won like 17-10.
Yeah.
God, it was so bad.
I remember that.
It was like this guy was supposed to be like the next guy for after Lorenzen, man.
Yeah, and it was so bad. And they eventually switched him to receiver, and he was not any good at that at all. Anyway,
Yeah, we're getting way off topic there. But, you know, if you want to hear a little history of Kentucky football, stick around. But big weekend. Got to get this win. You want to keep a good season going. Cannot lose any other games outside of Georgia if you want a New Year's Six. Because Georgia beats us, they go undefeated or whatever. They'll take the playoff spot. Then that leaves to open a New Year's Six bowl. And Tennessee is the team that looks like we're going to be fighting with for that, and Mississippi State. Because I see Ole Miss losing probably two or three games.
So
I think the two teams you're going to be battling out for those extra spots is probably Mississippi State and Tennessee. If you win the next 2 weeks, Kentucky's 13th. I actually thought they dropped further than that. It's kind of bullshit we've dropped. Same. We're behind Utah, who our best win is their only loss.
Yeah.
Weird for me. But regardless, I think Oregon's only beaten BYU. That's another one ahead of us. It's just strange. It's just Kentucky. That's just their name.
Of course.
But if they win this week and they win next week, they'll be back in the top 10.
I actually think if we win this week, we'll be back in the top 10. And then if we beat Mississippi State, you know, who knows?
Well, but Tennessee's probably going to be in the top 10. I don't think they don't play anyone that I could see that they'll probably lose to. Not only play LSU. They play LSU this week, who actually is getting a lot better.
Yeah.
I mean, that could happen this week.
And they play at Death Valley.
Yeah, but it's at noon, which is weird.
No, it's at 7.
No, it's at noon.
Never mind.
It's weird. That's weird. That tells you the SEC is trying to help out Tennessee any way they possibly can, because they know Death Valley at nighttime, regardless of what kind of talented LSU team is playing, is a lot harder than Death Valley at noon. So that's absolute bullshit. I think I'm actually pretty sure it's 11 o'clock in LSU.
Oh yeah, Central, yeah.
So it's even more bullshit for them. But LSU is getting better. I think Tennessee should beat them, but LSU is getting better, and I'll be rooting for LSU. I don't really care about Tennessee.
So. Guess who the SEC network has in the night game? Ole Miss and Vandy instead of Tennessee and LSU. Ole Miss and Vandy.
Man,
you guys kidding me right now?
That's bad, man. That's bad. Then Alabama plays A&M. They have a SEC double hitter on CBS.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's a big weekend for Kentucky. Big weekend in the East, really. I mean,
weekend going forward is going to be big for Kentucky.
Yeah, I mean, you can't. Like I said, you could probably avoid. You could probably lose to Georgia, and get away with it. And that goes the other way too. I mean, if you lose to Tennessee, you have to beat Georgia. But if you lose to Tennessee, I don't feel good against Georgia. So, and I think Tennessee is a fraudulent team. I'm just throwing it out there as well. I think they're a fraudulent team. I think they're a lot better than they really are. So, maybe I just hate Tennessee. We'll see.
I think you just hate Tennessee. I think they're pretty legit.
Yeah, but if Pittsburgh's starting quarterback didn't go out, they win that game.
Solid point, but it was also the first game of the year.
It was the first game or second game? I think it was second game, because they played Ball State to start off the season.
Oh, yeah, first game. First real game. Come on.
Yeah, but they also Florida. If they don't have – if they college football don't have super rules, like you can't pick up a onside kick and run it down the field, that also could have been a loss.
And they did let Anthony Richardson do whatever the hell he wanted. So,
yeah, I just don't know. I just don't know if LSU has enough to beat them. But what I'm getting at is I do think Tennessee could easily be 2-2. And I guess you can make the argument for us too. Or 3-2, I guess. But same time, I mean, the Florida game, if you all watched that game, the onside kick, guy from Florida grabbed it, took it all the way down the 30-yard line. Well, they have a rule in college football that you can't pick up a onside kick and run it. They basically do for Florida is talk the onside kick. That's stupid. That's a stupid rule that needs to be removed. How stupid is that? Why can't he return it? It's a fumble at that point. It's past the 10-yard mark. He picked it up and kept running with it. That's stupid. It's a dumb rule. It should never be a rule. I know it's not a rule in football. So, but the return team can pick up a ball and run it. That's dumb. So, just to point that out there. They'd have been inside the 30. I'm just telling you, they'd been inside the 30 with like 50 seconds left. So, they didn't have enough time. So, but anyways, getting off topic big time, but big weekend, big game, like Chris said, every game from here on out is huge. We just got to get to that Knoxville game. to play those idiots down there and hope that that will be the turning point in this season and really the whole program. So
yeah, propel everything forward.
Yes, because we have been the better team than Tennessee. I don't give a shit what anyone says. We've been the better team in the last 5-6 years, and it is just like very, very frustrating that in the last 5 games we've only won 2. So that is beyond frustrating. So
we'll see. Whatever.
We'll see. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm Nick.
I'm Chris. Go Big Blue.